Okay, 7 o'clock. So I hear a motion to begin the meeting.
Motion to begin.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All right. Glad to see you're all here tonight. And we start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Now, if we could have a moment of silence. Steve's not here yet. So, Sawyer, since Steve has the bid stuff, I'm going to just go ahead and. Sawyer, Small's here this evening, and he's looking to do a badge, right? And he's come here to make some requests. And so, if you would, Sawyer, yours.
So, my name is Sawyer Small, Troop 317, and I'm looking towards New Hills to do my Eagle Scout project. So, a big part of that is coming together and benefiting the community through a service project. So, I've talked with Mr. Hall about doing some work on your community green space. So, we were looking at doing three main things, building new flower beds, filling in an area with mulch, and filling in a few sinkholes. So we were planning on building 3 to 4 raised flower beds used for like a leave some, take some with people in the community. They can bring their plants, fill that with mulch and dirt, and we could use that to store trees over the winter, so bring cost down for the city. We were looking at mulching some areas and heavily clearing them. And just use that for general beautification. Sinkholes, so there's a retention pond that has 3 large sinkholes that need to be filled in with gravel and dirt. So I was looking to do that to make the green space safer. So I was just looking for you guys for any input or whether or not you'd like me to go ahead before I actually file a draft on my plan.
Okay, for those who don't know where the sinkholes are, everybody know where Rustburg Place is? Okay. At the dairy in the Rustburg Place, there's the rental property that's empty right now. Back on the right side, there's a bunch of sinkholes back there up on the raised part of the green space. Not down in the drainage area, but right above it. And they are really... Harold put some in there, but it's just not enough. So that's the reason why that... But I just wanted to let anybody know who didn't know what sinkhole were, what he was talking about. So, does anybody have any objections with what Sawyer has come up with?
Okay.
And would you? Is there anything that you all would like to see get done?
I like the idea of the raised flower bed. I think they're easier to take care of. They're easier to maintain, and I think that's a great idea.
Well, what they're talking about there is they're talking that there's a spot down behind John Rice's house,
mm-hmm.
and it's a triangled area. It's about as big as this room, I think, isn't it, Soria? And it's a good place where we could have the take one, leave one type of arrangement, and that's what he's talking about there. So, and that's where they're talking about putting the mulch and everything down there, having a storage area for us. It's out of the way. It's not in the main drag area. So that's, you're right. It's really would be nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we can, you know, get more bulbs and get a lot more planted throughout the neighborhood.
Well, soil and mulch is expensive. How are you?
So, as far as mulch, we were actually looking at, so there are some tree services that Mr. Hall has worked with in the past that will give us mulch for deeply discounted rates, and especially since I'm a Boy Scout working on that Eagle Scout project, we're seeing if we can get even more discounts in that area.
That's awesome.
So.
That is really awesome.
All right. Is it okay? Do I hear a motion for him to proceed with his summary or whatever he's got to do next?
If I can take him that quick. Okay, he has to come up with an idea, and then he has to submit that to the council, and then they have to approve it. So he has to get your approval in order to go to Boy Scouts to get their approval. So they could come back and say, no, it's not a good enough project, and he's not going to do it. That's probably not going to happen. It's just your preliminary okay, and then he'll probably come back with
a more detailed plan and outlines and costs and things like that.
Okay.
Well, I make a motion that we approve it.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Do I hear any disapproving when he can move forward? All right. We're going to go ahead and allow you to do that, come bring back a plan, and I guess we'll hear it next month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sawyer, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Very nice job.
All right, I guess the next thing is the bid opening. How many did we get?
Just one.
Just one.
It is right here.
Okay. Let me pass it down to Ms. Carroll.
They submitted a bid that was mailed to me, and then it got buried under some stuff in my but he did, through Bob's support, get it to me again on time. So it's the only one that received, and it was timely submitted.
So do I open it?
Yeah, you get to open it. You get to read it.
If there's any money in there, you have to tell us.
I don't get a package back.
Watch your money.
From Billy Mike from the Winery Company.
Can you speak up a little bit, Danny?
Okay, so I am new. I'm new to this. This is the first bid I've ever gotten to open.
Congratulations.
This is from Miner and Company. In fact, he is the one that did the brine last year. So I have talked to him and called him, and then I met him. He came out, gave him the specs, and then he submitted the bid. The bid is, he will plow or contract someone to plow your streets for the price of, for 4 inches or less, $1,500 per trip, 4 to 8 inches, $1,950 per trip, 8 to 12 inches, and please, dear God,
I would be bothered. Nobody's gonna be going anywhere.
$2,535 per trip. Then the IBG Magic application is $4,100 per trip. And the brine is $2,850 per trip. Do I need all of this?
No, you don't need to read it. That's the contract. He submitted the contract. He did that last time, too. Steve has to review the contract.
Okay.
But that's pretty much what he did the last time, so. And that's the only one we got, that we've only received.
And to be honest with you, this is
his, just so everybody knows, he has done the briming ever since we started doing the briming. And the magic salt, he's actually the distributor for, so we probably got as good as rates we're going to get for the distributorship, so. So,
well, I move that we accept this bid because snow will be coming. I not want to be out there with my snow shovel.
So we have Steve look over the contract first, though, before we accept it.
It's the same contract we always have.
Okay.
I mean, Steve will work with them on the contract, but if that's the only bid we got, I mean, and it's not unusual for us to get mm-hmm. just one.
Well, I'm glad we got it.
Yeah.
And he is familiar. He's familiar with, when I talked with him, he is familiar with our streets. He knows where the hills are that need extra, like to put extra down. And so.
Yeah, he said that Travis was going to, Travis is a female, by the way. Or Trevor. Yeah, Trevor will be doing the streets probably again. And she's been doing our streets for the last 3 years.
I would suggest we kind of go through this because this is basically an offer based upon our specifications. So if he has anything in here that I think it should be vetted by us because it's basically an offer. And we can go back to him and say, can we change this or limit this or add this? That becomes a counteroffer because he's only going to bid it. Then if he would accept any recommended changes or additions that we have, then it would be an agreement. But right now, this is an offer which we can look at it. And I'll look at it when you guys are doing other business to see if anything.
This is the same one we've had for years. So,
okay, but you know, I always.
It's a flat rate, Steve. That's
okay.
That we.
I'll read it. I don't think there's anything, but I don't want to have anybody come back to me and say, why in the hell didn't you see
it? Okay, all right. Well, you go ahead and do that while we move along.
All right.
Oh, well, welcome y'all. Those who made it, thank you very much. Everybody knows everybody here, I believe. We have Commissioner Campbell on the end, Commissioner Deville, next, Commissioner Metcalf, Commissioner Eichenberger, our attorney Steve Swagger,
Swagger.
Our city clerk, Deb Lush, and Dan Smalls, our city treasurer, and I'm Bob Stone.
Mayor.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. First thing that I have is citizen participation. Is it, other than Sawyer was just in here, is there anything else that anybody has that they'd like to bring our attention to?
Yeah, the debate's in court, the little open space. Some of the neighbors took out that dead bush, by the way, but I didn't know if anything was going to be done with that open space because a lot of the others are so pretty and beautiful. This one is so ugly. And actually, they even trimmed the branches on the tree, by the way, too. But
have you been to Argoyne Court? It's just a grass spot.
Yeah.
So it's a work, and it's just basically, were you here when Sawyer talked about what they're planning on doing?
Yes.
Okay, so we got, once we have stock of flowers, Harold's plan is, and this is what I understood because I talked to Harold quite a bit, is we're going to start doing more bulbs around the city so that we can do what you're talking about. The problem we've got over there, though, is there's no irrigation in that island.
Right.
So if we put anything over there.
It'd be
rocked.
It'd be rocked to pick up the grass.
I have no idea. Harold might have a plan, but there has to be something over there that can pretty much thrive on its own because there is no irrigation system, and I'm not a big fan of irrigation systems, so.
Right. No, I get it.
Okay. But
I just don't understand why the dead bush didn't be taken out. But luckily,
they had
good neighbors who took it out themselves.
I know. Well, we had a conversation with them. We told them it was on the agenda, but
yeah.
Here's the thing. He's on a budget because of us. Okay,
right.
So there's up until June 30th, we were still on the 2019 budget, and because they had the previous administration had tapped our budget so heavily, we were really running very slim come June 30th. So it was on the schedule to get done something late in late July. So, but they got to it before Harold got to it. I can put it that way.
Yeah,
and they did a nice job.
They what?
They did a nice job. We heard about it.
They did, yeah.
Commissioner Eichenberger myself heard all about it. So.
Right.
We appreciate the hard work they did.
Yeah, I was
kind of
impressed. I'm like, why
didn't
you tell us?
We would have
helped.
Yeah, Carol?
You mentioned something about rocks. So you're basically saying take the rocks, that might be a good idea, take the rocks out of the aisles.
Or I mean, the grass out. And yeah, because apparently Harold can't cut it because it's too small.
He uses a weedy.
He's been trying to cut it ourselves.
Okay.
You know, trying to keep it trimmed up, because last time he was weed eater, it was so tall, it just wasn't very professional enough. So, we've been trying to maintain it, or Dave and I have been maintaining it for years, and I cut it a couple times. Just to make it look nice, because it just looks crappy compared to the others. And it's a nice cold effect, you know. A lot of the neighbors take pride in their yards, so.
Okay.
Appreciate you doing
that. Anything else? All right. Next on the agenda is the. I didn't see the minutes for the special meeting on the
15th.
Oh, we haven't gotten them. Okay. Beverly will get the minutes of the special meeting out to us. We'll talk about it next month. All right. How about the July 16th meeting minutes? Everybody received them in their email, and they're posted on the website.
Yeah.
Is there was there any corrections or anything? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Unanimous. All right. City financial report. Everybody get the financial information. Everybody do their due diligence and get into all the numbers. I know I did.
Yep.
It's a little confusing when you get around July. I can tell you that much. Figure out what's in 19 and what's in the next year. Was there any questions at all on the financial reports? Is there a motion then to accept the financial reports?
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. I never get to say his name. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Oh, wait a minute. We got something else to do now with this treasury report. Dan, you want to explain what's going on?
As far as the budget stuff?
No, on the taxes.
Okay. So when I took over, Lloyd Coleman had a spreadsheet of past due taxes going back to 2001, and I have changed that spreadsheet to cover that's more than that. It goes back to 2006, because everything from 2005, 2001, it really wasn't that much. And I have every property listed and anything that's outstanding. Steve gave me the list of liens he made, so some of those were paid off, I assume, because Roy did not show them as outstanding, so I assume they were paid off.
A lot of them paid off.
There's other liens that I don't show any payment on, so those are still there. That being said, there's still, like, 2010, let's say. Steve gave me his list of liens, which I assume would have been all the property tax unpaid in 2010. According to the spreadsheet, there's other property taxes that are unpaid that did not have liens against them.
For that same year?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I don't think we ever recovered the financial information prior to 2015. Did we?
No.
Yeah. So I have no way of going back and proving whether or not something was paid or not. For 2015, 16, 17, and 18, I went back and took every property tax payment due against everything that was in QuickBooks, and if it didn't match up, I'm saying it's still owed. 14 and 15, according to Roy, don't have very much outstanding, which means I don't think it's right, but I don't know what to do about it. So that's the situation. The problem, my question is, I don't think we go back to 2005 and say, hey, those property taxes were never paid. If people have moved, those taxes are not owed by the new person living in the house. They were owed by the person that moved out. So I don't know how we could go back and even say, I guess we could somehow check ownership records to see if people moved or not. All that to say is, I'm wondering if the commission would say everything older than a certain date, unless it had a lien on it, we just say, I don't know. And we don't collect it. I know that from 2005 to 2018, that's $124,000. Now, that's not the face amount of the tax, right? Because something that's from 2005, the penalties on that are more than the tax, right? So if somebody owes $250, they probably owe $700 now. Right, if we were to collect it. So the $124,000 is really kind of inflated for penalties. It's not, and I had the number, and I think I left it at work as to what the actual tax amount was. But like in 2005, it was $6,300. 2006, $7,000.
Were these the same people, or were they different people?
Yes.
Well, no, I'm asking.
No, some people have 5 years of unpaid taxes.
Okay, so if it's somebody with 5 years of unpaid taxes.
Can I interject something?
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is it would take a little bit of time, but it's not complicated. You take the tax schedule that we have for this year and just go look at Dan's spreadsheet. And if there's a tax that was not paid, you just go to the current tax roll. If the current owner, if the person that owns the tax is still owns the property, then I can file a tax lien. If there's a different owner, just wipe that off.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Dan said, they bought it. And if there was no, you guys know as well as I do, if there's a lien on a property and it's sold, it has to be taken care of. So that happens. We get notified by a title company or a real estate person that says, what's the payoff? And that's how we got a lot of money. But so that's the way to do it. You look to see for every one of those unpaid taxes who owns the property. If the person that owns the tax for 1 year or a series of years still owns it, you let me know and I'll slap a tax lien on the property. And then anything else that where that was a different owner than when the tax was owed, then you just write that off. You can't.
That answers my question. That was why I asked you, is it the same person? And
my only concern with that is anything prior to 2015. All somebody would have to do is say, I paid that. I guess they would ask for proof of payment. But if it was in a mortgage, you know, I
don't know. That's a good point, because if
mm-hmm. I have no way to prove
tax. What Roy would do sometimes, and he'd get, you know, one check from a company that was financing more than one property within the city, and, you know,
I've got that all taken care of.
Okay, you got all taken care of.
For this year.
So the first exercise, I think, is to see if the ones that are, where there's an unpaid tax and the current owner, then.
So you're saying we get the tax rolls for 2010 and see if that's the same owner?
Current tax roll.
Current, I'm fine with. I'm fine with pretty much 15 through current.
But what happens if you've got a 2010 tax thing that's unpaid?
That's my
and
question.
The same person owns the property now.
Well, so I'd have to go back to the 2010 tax roll to see if it's the same person.
Well,
I don't know who owns it.
No, that wouldn't be something you do. It would be something that, you know, I could help Beth with it.
Well, I'm saying the clerk would do that. When she did that?
Yeah, I would do that.
But they'd have to get the 2010 tax roll.
Clerk doesn't have access to that
information. No, on your spreadsheet, does it show
clerk doesn't have access to that information.
Yeah.
Because okay. your spreadsheet shows unpaid taxes in the year.
Yes.
He's got an address.
Yes.
Okay. That's all Beth has to do is go to that address and see if it's
same owner in 2010 as now.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's go to the tax roll for 2010, right?
We'll see the tax roll for 2010.
How do you know who the owner is in 2010?
If you
I don't have the person's name in 2010.
Oh, I see. The name of the person's not on the spreadsheet.
No.
No.
Yeah, my spreadsheet is pretty much by property. It's not by
credit. Partial ID.
I'll tell you this. I have boxes of work that I did, letters. And every year I was given this schedule. When the new tax bills went out, sometime in September, I would get all of them paid taxes from the prior year. And I worked really hard for that. I was diligent. I sent out letters. If they didn't pay it, I recorded liens. So until 2015, I think that worked beautifully. So I wouldn't look behind. Was it 12?
That was the last year.
I wouldn't be look behind 12 because it was done right. So
I have no.
I don't know what you do coming forward. With 12.
I talked to the auditor about it. She said there's nothing really. You're supposed to collect the taxes. That's the law. You're not supposed to forgive them.
Right. Fiduciary duty to do that.
Yeah. And I haven't done it because I forgot to. But she said maybe there's something with the
collective. Well, you're here a mess, Dan.
Well, no, that's not my issue. Okay. Maybe there's something the Kentucky League of Cities would have more advice to that. Have some advice to it. But I don't think there's nothing. No one's going to say, oh, yeah, it's 10 years old, you can write it off. I don't think that exists. It's really going to come down to you guys saying, we don't see this amount of taxes as being collectible, or it's not worth our time to collect it, and we say
because the interest on from 15-4 wouldn't be what it would be if it was like a 10-year or something like that. So,
I'll give Steve with that spreadsheet and say, hey, here's what I got.
Well, I was out on Zillow yesterday, and on Zillow it tells all the sales information on that website.
Past years.
It tells when the last sale of the property was.
Did you break down the amount of tax that was unpaid for each individual year? Mm-hmm. Or just total it?
Yeah, we just wanted to bring this up so we'd be thinking about it.
I've been going to meet with whoever wants to meet, Dan, Mayor. I don't want to take up much of Dan's time. He's done the yeoman's job, and God knows how many hours it took to put that spreadsheet together. If there had been a determination that we weren't going to go half a certain amount of years, then we would have negated a lot of work.
But you still want to go through this right now.
So you can't write it off as a bad debt.
Is there any more expenses out than anybody knows of for fiscal year 2019? Because as of August 31st, we have to finalize and get the numbers for the budget. Or for the 2019 fiscal year closed. Has anybody got any additional outstanding expenses? If you do, let Dan know. I don't think there is. I think we've got them all in.
Dan's going to send me, I have a spreadsheet, he's going to send me something else, and I'll do some work to see what the best approach would be, and I'll disseminate that to everybody so that we can consider it the next meeting.
And then the next meeting will be in the delinquent taxes. So that's September.
There's $35,000 of current year taxes uncollected.
Okay.
For this year?
Well, we'll get the lien pages out this year. We'll be doing it right this year. Okay. Okay, the invoice expense sheet's all been around. Go ahead, Dan. Dan's got one more thing.
Taxes that were paid to the old lockbox. How do we? What do we do with it? The money's fine.
Well, we're going to. We need to find out who's paying them to the old lockbox. And the city clerk needs to write a letter and tell them what the new lockbox number is. Who's the financiers that are sending us
these? It's mostly. This is, I think, that CoreLogic.
CoreLogic. I'm telling you what. Okay, we'll just get in bed and she can send them notice that. Okay. All right. Invoice receipts and reimbursement. Any corrections or anything? I saw that everybody had signed off on them or initially on them. Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the expense report?
Motion to accept the expense report.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All right. City Attorney's report and update on Roy and Betty's unemployment claim.
I've been pressing off for 38 years, and over that time, I've represented both employees and employers in unemployment insurance claims. And the hearing offices are merit employees, so they can't be fired. Half of them over the years are determined or complete idiots. I don't know if they couldn't do something else, so someone got them a job. And one guy couldn't pronounce my name, Schwager, so he kept calling me Mr. Steve. I felt like a horse, Mr. Ed. So, regardless. So, I've never seen such a detailed Mr. and Mrs. Coleman considered them friends. We went to Christmas dinners and there were times where we went to lunch together and I paid her lunch and then they in turn called Mr. Stone a racist and then in turn called me a racist. That they submitted letters of resignation that were very nice letters of resignation. They said they were in cooperating with the transition. There was a set of meetings where there was a proposal that had to do with, you know, who was going to get the jobs in the future and all that. But it's this. So what happens is that the hearing officers, they had two different ones, one each for, they were both women, and they paid tremendous attention, and these people deserve their jobs and deserve to be paid every cent they get. So maybe some of these people are retiring and they're hiring more competent people, but they were very competent. And the Colemans, bless their hearts, they didn't have any idea about the testimony and rules of evidence and cross examination, all that stuff. I'd be talking, Bobby Stallman, here else we talking, all of a sudden they're interjecting something, you know. So they got adverse rulings, as both of them got adverse rulings, and then they appealed those. And we spent a lot of time on teleconferences. So the opinions that were given by the Department of Unemployment Insurance were more detailed and exact than they had ever seen before. And there was case law controls. So you have statutes, regulations, someone doesn't like it, they appeal, the Court of Appeals renders an opinion, and that's what attorneys use to decide what, and judges use to decide, and hearing officers decide what to use and how to make decisions. So I cited a couple of those cases, and they were incorporated into their opinions as to each of the individuals. So I'm very pleased. I'm not happy with the way things went during these things. I was professional, God was professional. Dennis was there as an observer. But the Colemans were over their head. I don't know what the motivation was, whether, and there were times, you were here before, where Roy wasn't doing, there were two numbers that didn't match. And for months and years, he wouldn't match those. And it was a simple matter of just doing it. And I remember going out 3 years ago in the hallway, I said, Roy, why don't you just do that? And I think it was, in his mind, he didn't like Bob, and he was just trying to aggravate Bob. But we sat in these meetings, and it was like the gnashing of teeth, you know. It was horrible. So regardless, we got opinions. They don't know how to appeal it. If they want to appeal, they got to appeal to the Supreme Court, and they don't know how to do that. And there's, you know, if they go to an attorney and say, give me $10,000 up front, and you're going to lose. So I hope that that's the end of it. But Bob did a great job. I thought Dennis did a great job observing like that. So he did a good job. And so we got a good result. If anybody has any questions, I'll answer them. But, it's interesting. It's interesting reading. Did you all get them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They call
you
racist.
Huh?
They might have called the whole board racist then.
Well, I was white, but I wasn't on the board.
No, but I'm saying.
I'm disappointed in them, really. That is, I wanted to address them more. I still like them, and I'm really with people. And they did things like they had. You know, Bob asked him to do something or something and said, we can't do all this because we both work full time. I mean, you came in the reservation, you work full time. You know, I mean, so anyway, the hearing officer and the unemployment insurance division did an excellent job. And that is precedent. That'll probably be, you know, they can use that as precedent in future decisions. So if anybody has, nobody has any questions, I'll move on. That's it. Don, you all squared away with what to do this fall in the election. Okay, I want to make sure of that. Now, what's this about ground effects? Do they damage our pavement?
Yes, they damage the pavement with the heavy.
What equipment. I need to do is get someone who paves our roads go up there and assess the damage and then submit a bid and say this is what it's going to cost to fix, and then I can send that bill to the planning. You know, my best information, knowledge, and belief that you damage these roads, here's a bit repaired. Can you please give us the money and see where that goes? Is it damaged to the point where it's dangerous to walk or drive over?
No, but this fall and winter, it's raised. It is just water will get down. It'll freeze. It'll start to crumble. It is.
It's white for the.
Yes.
So if we can get that bid, who did our blacktop in the last time?
I do not know who did that blacktop.
It's on the files. Remember the.
Mac did the rejuvenation.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mac did the rejuvenation, but
okay.
It's where they put that heavy piece of equipment. Was the worst place they could put that heavy piece of equipment because it had the most damage to the asphalt to start with, and it had a lot of crack seal on it. And they just literally were they rode over that thing. It just literally just tore it up even more. So, I mean, they basically tore up the tar and everything that where the crack seal was. I took pictures of it and sent it to everybody. I sent the pictures up to them.
Did you?
Yeah, I sent you a copy of the email.
That I know about it. I
expected them to, you know, I expected them to man up and do what they should do.
So you haven't heard from them?
No.
All right. When was that email? I'll look for it.
Oh, first part.
I'm not sure, but I can go through and I can go ahead and put you on it and send
sure,
it. Okay, I can.
Thank you.
And so, Bob, do you want me to go ahead and get a couple quotes, get Matt Construction out there?
Well, yeah, according to Steve, yeah, what Steve's going to do is going to send them, you better get your job done here type of letter, you know.
Yeah, I think that we should be told when we do.
Right.
If they take it upon themselves,
right.
They have this young man out there doing it. Do you know how to blacktop?
Yeah. Figure it out.
We want to be in control of that. So I want pictures and then I want a video. I think. I would get the one who just rejuvenated those two. I don't think we need two bids. We accepted their bid because we felt that it was a good piece. Just have them do that. They're going to want our future business, so they'll probably give you a good price. Get that bid now submitted and say, here are the pictures, here it is. Pay us, please.
So, and it isn't just for the rejuvenation, it's for the fixing of the asphalt.
They tore up the asphalt.
Okay,
when Mac did the rejuvenation over there, they also did some pavement fixing too. Farther down, you can see where it's at. So, Mac does the asphalting too, but they really tore up this now.
Okay, I'll wait until the parking, but I'm looking at this minor contract.
Okay.
First of all, this contract. Number one, they don't have proof of insurance. Two, and I went through this with them last year. I mean, they got this Crossways limitation liability, paragraphs. Limitation of liability for personal injury and death, and minimal liability for property damage. Customer agrees that minor is not responsible for damage to plant, material, or other services. Same thing as to persons and stuff. Customer agrees that minor is not responsible for damage to plant, material, or other services from use under this agreement. And then it says over here. Limitation of liability. The customer understands that finding small ice disturbing DIC material on particular low stream and not clear the area. It might be slippery, wet, on the bump. Minor commits to the customer to use the best efforts to accomplish the work. Customer agrees and understands that minor accepts and bears no response to any claims or damages related to the work set out on renters. Customer explicitly agrees to defend and damage. That's insane. So we just, and this is what we did last year. I thought we X that out. We're not indemnifying them. If they cause damage, they're the ones who are going to pay for it, and that's why they have insurance. I don't understand why they don't
have insurance. You said they don't.
Yeah, they have insurance.
And what happens in those situations, you cannot contract away liability, and that's what they're trying to do here. So it shows, in my mind, their bad faith to try to run this by us again. I mean, it upsets me in that regard. So what happens in these situations is you take that out, and then if there's an event where they hit a car, they hit me or whatever, the facts of that situation dictate who's responsible and who pays.
Okay.
You can't predict that. So I just say you X that out, we get a copy of the insurance, and I sign it, or somebody, Bob, signs it, and we take out this indemnification language.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you watching out for us.
Yeah, we can... We can redo the contract, right?
Yeah, we need to sign it.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign anything until we get fixed. So, when we got to snow.
As Carol says, snow is fine.
Yeah, as long as it gets done before September
1st. I know.
I've never seen any contract where a contractor or vendor is trying to limit liability by saying, it's like someone who, irrigates my yard, or I do all that stuff. But it's like homeowner. If this flies off my trimmer and it hits someone in the head, you're responsible. I mean, anyway, let me look at it and I'll send out an email. All right, what we need to do.
Okay.
Right, now we're down to this parking thing. Bob pointed out something, and I will say this. And Bob told me that someone complimented
him. Hang on a second. Let me pass out the parking ordinances. Did anybody bring a copy, their own copy, over here?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay. Where's the other two? You need more?
Okay.
Dennis, you need one? All right. The rest get to go out. Thanks, a little lady beat you out there. The original, they're stapled
the
together.
Off of the computer.
Huh?
This is the one that you sent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do the 81 one.
The 81 is the original.
Yeah, I just.
Okay, 82 is the amended, first amended, and then 2015 is the second amended. And. I wanted to make sure everybody had a copy of that so they could see how gobbledygooked it is, okay? And I'll put it that way, because the reason why I've gotten Steve involved in this is basically to repeal our current parking ordinance once we have a new one
here's, and this was Bob's idea to repeal, because you can start lining this out and underline and do all that stuff, and then it becomes a nightmare. That was a trouble I had. But what I did when someone wanted a synopsis of where the parking rules, I just went to, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. But Bob has done a great job. I think you all have done a great job. This, for people to compliment you, you should become complicated for your efforts. I think that Bev and Dan likewise done a great job. But here's what I think, and Bob suggested this, and I'm voicing his words, and he was wise words. Draft what you want, and then we'll have a first reading of that, and then the second reading will repeal all of this stuff, so that the new ordinance that is specifically what you want to do takes over and all this stuff is gone. So that's what I would suggest.
I didn't know if it took you can repeal with one.
I think you can repeal with one.
Okay. We'll check on that for
I'll check on that.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, if it requires to, we're not going to lose any time because there are two reasons of this.
There's some stuff on the parking ordinance that Dennis has gotten, and I won't steal your thunder, Dennis, but Dennis has got, he got an email or a call. He got a call from Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah.
And wanted to know what we had to do, what he had to do to expand his driveway. Well, Dennis didn't know, I didn't know before we got a copy of this. And it actually, in the amended copy in 82, it has instructions what has to be done. And it virtually has to be approved by the commission according to this. And it basically said, where's it at? Let's see, it's section 5. It shall be unlawful to park any vehicle in the front yard, including any between the sidewalk and or street. Subsection A, no person, firm, or corporation shall construct, place, or maintain a parking space or spaces immediately adjacent to the driving surface of the street or adjacent to the driveway within the street of Worthington Hills, unless such parking space or spaces conform to the provisions of this ordinance. And then it's got a subsection. The following specifications shall apply to all parking spaces governed by Section 5. And it goes through what needs to be done. I didn't know we had this. So this is one of the reasons why, you know, this is one of the things that we were going to attack. And that's why I requested C gets a copy of everything so that we can go through it and fix this some way, shape, or form. We're not going to make everybody happy. I'm going to tell you right now. There's no way. Then let me tell you about this. Cul-de-sac parking is off limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this much right now. Why? One of the neighbors on my street, I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday night, I think it was Friday night, was carted out in the ambulance. And you know when the ambulance comes, fire truck comes. Now, I live on Pulaski. And in front of the ambulance was the police car. So they were parked in front of the house. The ambulance was parked behind the police car, and the fire truck was behind the ambulance. Okay? The fire truck could not get up. The fire truck wanted to leave before the ambulance had to leave because they carted the person out after whatever. Okay. The police car left first, but the police car went up to the cul-de-sac circle, come around, had to drive through the neighbor's yard to get past the fire truck, and then went on. Then the fire truck had to back all the way out of Pulaski Court.
I almost got hit just doing my light check because I was over there in the early morning hours doing it, and a car was leaving for work or going to, and I mean, he just came flying out of the driveway.
And yeah.
Not even two car.
It's really tight on all the cul-de-sacs, all the old cul-de-sacs. If there are cul-de-sac on Pulaski, is 11 feet wide.
Yeah.
Okay, that barely fits two cars through there. Okay. And that's the way most of the old cul-de-sacs are. Queen Anne's the same way. Boynton's the same way. LeRae's the same way. Eastville's the same way. So whatever we do, there's not going to be any parking on the cul-de-sac. And it's just not during the night. Because what happens is if somebody was to park on the cul-de-sac at night and we had an emergency, you know, somebody's going to have to get out or wake them up to get the vehicle, or they're just going to smash the vehicle as they drive through. If that's probably what they'll do, okay? If there's a fire in there, you know, those houses are going quick.
It's a big bump on the front of park up the tour. Move cars out of
the way. Oh, is that what they did?
Exactly.
Okay. So, anyhow, I want you to remember that when we're looking at this. And I'm not looking at this being something that we're going to do in a month or 2 months. I'm really looking at us doing a good job, really looking at this and getting it to the point to where it's something that we all can live with. Is there any questions at all?
Who's the city citation officer?
We don't have one.
I don't think so.
The citation officer would be the police. This is another thing.
No, you've got police officers.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. That's another thing. We don't have a code enforcement board. So whatever we do, we need to get a code enforcement board.
I think those two people back there and this lady here would make wonderful code enforcement.
I'm on the
ethical. Yes. Well, never mind.
And you can recruit the third one.
And code enforcement, let me put it this way. Code enforcement does not go out and look for problems. The code enforcement is a hearing. You basically, when a ticket is written by our security company, okay, then what code enforcement does is if somebody gets the ticket and it wants to appeal it, the code enforcement just hears their appeal and they make a decision. They don't actually do anything as far as write any citations or anything like that. I think that's what got a lot of people a little jumpy, is they don't want to be writing up their name. The code enforcement is just a judge and jury, okay? And they decide whether they uphold it. And the code enforcement, if the person loses and the code enforcement says, no, the ticket stands, then they get to take it to circuit court, right? Or district court.
District court.
Let them deal with it down
there. It's a process. I mean, what you do is you want to have a mini court.
Because the
minutes have to be taken, you have to report it.
And we have this room now for the whole day, so what we're looking at is if we get a code enforcement report, then we can get them in here at 4:30, 5 o'clock, if there's an appeal. They'll at least have a date. That's another thing. When you write the ticket, you have to have instructions on it, on how to appeal, when the regular hearing dates are, okay? And again, like I said, we're going to have them the second Tuesday if we ever get a code enforcement for it, because we've got this ring, okay, for the whole day. So this is one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up is, first off, is to try to encourage people. I know we don't have a big audience, but the thing is you don't have to rat on your neighbor. You just have to say, no, you have to pay the ticket, you know. So, and we're not talking big money. So a lot of the times what they do is I don't know of anybody that's actually appealed one, but they usually just pay it. So, all right. Is there anything else?
Just one thing. You know, we have no parking at night, so we may have cars, if the snow's coming in, and especially a bad snow, it really doesn't matter what kind of snow, if those cars are on the street, then the plow guy has a hard time getting around those things, and that's why, especially if it's a hard snow, he doesn't see it, you know, and there's a car with a bam. So how do we let the people know that they absolutely got to get their cars off the street if they have to park on the easement just to get them off the street? Put that on the website and put it in the newsletter, or?
Well, the thing is the good thing is since we have security patrol that are unmarked, we're not having the parking problem like we used to. I mean, the parking is really, really, really down. I don't find them too much on the cul-de-sacs at all, but I do. There's still a couple places on Northumberland, and Ardwine has a consistent parker over there.
Yeah, that's what I was
just talking. Yeah, the one with the RV. This is another thing I would like to have in this particular parking ordinance. They can't be parking their RVs in their driveways for more than, say, a week.
How about boats?
Huh?
How about boats? Boats that go in the water.
Boat.
Oh, boats. Yeah. Anything that's taking up the space, they're gonna have to park it somewhere else. So we need to. That's another thing we need to look at, because I'm almost sure there's an RV that's over on Queen Anne that somebody's living in.
I'm beginning to think that's true.
You know which one I'm talking about, halfway up the hill? Yeah. And we won't, I'm just curious if that's true.
Well, I'm not knocking on the door to find out.
Well, that's another thing we need to, if we get a sufficient, we need to get code enforcement in to check to see if there's somebody, because that is definitely a violation of code in Jefferson County. Can't be living in the RVs on your land, not for a permanent case. So, anything else y'all want to talk about on the parking? Moving along. All right, let's see what we got next. Anything else you want to talk about, Steve?
No, but I wanted to say this, and I'll hang around for a while, but my brother, I found out just a few hours before he came over, he fell on his back, broke his back, and punctured one of his eyes. So I don't know if he's in the hospital. I just texted his wife to find out where he is. So I think that, go check on him.
Well, there's one thing I want to talk about while Steve's still here. I'm gonna pass it out. I'm gonna get off the agenda here. Alright. This is on this out of state plates. Okay. I'm gonna pass this down. I think there's enough there. Those of you on the fair aware of it, okay.
Is this a new business? Did we just skip old business altogether?
Steve's got to leave.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm running the agenda.
Okay.
Anyhow, this was going to be a new business, but I want to make sure Steve's here so we can talk about what we can do about this. We've got residents in our city who definitely got out-of-state tags. And we've got some of them that are very adamant that they aren't going to get Kentucky tags. I put this together because the top portion is a statute, very short, very simple, okay? Down at the bottom is a copy of my renewal. And I wanted to bring up what we're paying taxes for with them tags. Most people don't really look at it, they just pay the tag. So we had state and county, the county school, and the Worthington Hills Fire Division, okay? I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but a lot of these cars that I'm looking at, that I'm seeing with the out-of-state tags, are old cars like mine, this 2003 TT Cruiser. They're in the 2017, 18, and luxury models. And there's another problem just more than this. If they're not paying for Kentucky tags, how do we know they had insurance?
Well, I guess what I don't understand is, what about the people who, say for instance, their company sends them here to work for 6 months? And they rent a house in Worthington Hills, and they're from Arkansas. They got Arkansas tags. How do you ever hope to enforce something like this? I mean, are you going to go around taking pictures of everybody's license tag?
Look,
I point out something. This statute goes to driver's license. It's not talking about registering the vehicle is talking about your driver's license.
No, it says it says residents not to use license of other states.
Okay.
It's your tags.
It's a tag.
Yeah, but let me see that.
Doesn't this just kind of go away every 9 to 12 months when they have to renew their plates?
Nope. They got brand new tags on them.
Over 10 years. This is Ohio.
That's right.
So why?
They don't pay the ad valorem part. When you buy a tag in Ohio, you're just paying for the tag. You're not paying on the value of the car. That's one of the biggest complaints these people have. In fact, the one that I talked to, she basically said she's not going to do it because she's got to pay the additional tax over and above what she pays on the car every year.
So what does the city hope to do if somebody says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get a Kentucky tag. Are you going to, I mean, what recourse does the city of Washington Hills have, and why do we want to get in somebody's business if they...
Because it's our job as an elected official to make sure that they're following the law, period.
Okay, but I'm saying, how do you enforce this
law? Well, you report it to the state. There's a Freddie Freeroaders website for the Kentucky Transportation Department. You can report these license plate numbers. The problem is how do we know they're carrying insurance? And what a lot of people don't realize is, at I used to be an insurance agent, okay, and there's a lot of stipulations. Kentucky, here in Louisville, is one of the highest rated insurance areas in the United States because of accidents. If people carry insurance at another address, the insurance company could have the right to deny a claim if they find out they're living in Kentucky and paying their rates in another state.
Bob, do you know where these one or more people live in? Do they own or they rent out?
One of them rents, but they've been there for 3 years. Another one has been in this house for a long time. I mean, they're...
Are the tags current? But
yes, they are current. And get this, one of them I got pictures of that are parked in the garage. When you look at the picture, you can see old Kentucky plates hanging on the wall. And they got Florida plates on now.
What's that Florida plates on now?
Yeah. And they're brand new Jeep Cherokees.
Well, maybe they're home in Florida and the car's registered in Florida.
That's what I asked, because a lot of people that live here do that.
Yeah.
But you got it. You got
friends that do it.
But you got it. There's certain, according to this, there's no exception.
I don't see a way to enforce that. I really don't see a way to enforce that, and I think all we're going to do is piss people off.
Do we just report it to the state and then we back off and let them?
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to recommend.
Who's going to report it? Who's going to be the person that goes around and reports this?
I don't have any problem doing it.
What?
I don't have any problem doing it.
That was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, anybody can do it. I'm just trying to bring it up. Okay, I just want to let people know. Drive around. Obviously, nobody watches around the city.
You can be on the interstate.
Yeah.
On I-71, 264, 64, I-65, and see how many Florida plates. I mean, and they live in the state of Kentucky. Go into any subdivision, Florida plates, because they own property here and they own property in Florida. There's no way to enforce that.
It wouldn't be up to us to enforce it.
We're not enforcing it. All I'm saying is
no, it's just our job to make our neighbors and our residents mad.
Exactly. Piss them off.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to be pissing them off. Okay? I'm just telling you right now.
Don't be around them.
Is this something, though, that the commission has to decide if you're...
No. As a citizen, anybody can do it. There's a website where you can do it. I'm just going to bring it up. That if I'm out taking pictures and you're reading that on Nextdoor, I'm taking pictures for evidence for Freddie Freeroaders.
I just hope that there's not another ambulance.
I just hope there's not a riot.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, the fact is if how do we know that they're not, if they're paying insurance, how do we know they're paying it in Kentucky?
Come down and see me.
Well, if they had a house here, they've got to be paying property insurance.
Well, that's true, but...
What, the renters?
Rent the renters.
I don't think they're all...
I'm just bringing it up.
I don't think they're all renters.
I just wanted to bring it up to get it on tape that that's why people were upset. I'm also taking pictures of trees and gutters, so...
You see where he said people?
Huh?
People.
Yeah.
But they're not upset at you. They're upset at the commission.
Yeah, the commission.
But there's only one person that has an issue with it. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. You all can't... You all will see the importance of it, but I'm telling you right now, we've got a lot of people driving around Louisville without insurance.
I know.
And this is part of the reason why. How many Texas tags do you see running around here? How many Louisiana tags do you see? You don't pay attention. That's the reason why. I do.
Here's something I want to inject. If you don't have UIM and unemployed insurance and underemployed insurance, you need it, and it's cheap. Unemployed insurance, uninsured motorist means that if I get you out of insurance, your insurance can take care of it. And the same thing has to do with underinsured. I've had cases over the years where people were horribly damaged and they didn't have it, and the people were like one drunk hit this woman impaired for the rest of her life. Drunk pain only had 20. So if you don't have it, get it. And it's not that expensive. Can I leave, Robert? I got to check on my
stats.
You guys are doing a great job. Great job.
I hope
you're
okay. Yeah.
Will
you keep
us
posted on that?
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Hope he's okay, Steve.
I'll check on him. I'm good. He's a wonderful young man.
That's 2181, right?
772-5581.
2581.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't
really answer. That's fine.
They used to my name and phone number, and they couldn't. I know now.
That's why you never get to call back, right?
Okay. Now we go to old business, and Steve's leaving. All right. Old business, and I know Commissioner DeVille has something.
Yes.
I made copies of you.
Well, I sent the email. Did anybody get it? You all make copies of the map that.
I brought it for the audience too. You got a copy up there, Carol?
Yeah. No, I don't have one. Okay, thank you.
You need any more up there?
No, I need a
copy. I want to make sure the audience has copies.
I got it. Several months ago, Dennis, it's been a long time ago, hadn't it?
Yeah.
Dennis and I met with Jim Pearson from LQE about getting getting street lights installed on some of the courts that don't have them. And we're talking about adding 8th street lights in 4 different locations. Dawn and I worked on a letter, which I sent that, had an attachment of a letter. What needs to be done is in order to install this cable to put in the new streetlights, you're going to have to access 8 yards, the yards of 8 residents. So we drafted a letter, which we will send to the residents, which basically, I'll read it to you. It's in Fair Maple. In an effort to increase the overall security of residents and their property, the City of Washington Hills Commission has approved installing additional lighting on your street. The installation of the streetlights will require LGE to access, trench, and lay number 12 QC cable through an area either within or closely adjacent to your property line. Upon completion of installing the cable, the area will be reseeded. If you have any objection to LGE assessing your property in order to lay the cable and proceed with the installation of the new streetlights,
please contact Property Commissioner Don Eichenberger or Mayor Bob Stoneman via the city's website at cityofwarrentonvillekentucky.gov. And then I said, thank you, under the Utilities Commissioner. This is the letter that we would be sending. We have three residents on Queen Anne, one on Lunenburg, two on LeRae, and two on Heathville. It will not, no residents will be impacted on the Boynton because they will just tie into the light that's already, the cable that's already there on Boynton. But also, for you all that may not know, I will say the eight new lights will be the new LED lights, which actually is cheaper. It will cost us $21.33 to burn those lights each month compared to $23 to the other bulbs, the mercury bulbs that we're using right now. And we will be able eventually, as the old lights burn out, and we'll replace them with the LED bulbs. The eight new lights will add an additional $170.64 per month to the LG&E bill. That's an additional $2,047.68 to their utility budget. But I think it's money well spent because it's going to light up some of these courts that are really, really dark.
Well, we already approved it in the budget, so.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Yeah,
so,
we added it to the budget.
But I do need to know if it's all right if we proceed with sending out the letters to these residents and then getting their approval. And then once we get their approval, we can notify Jim Pearson at LG&E to proceed with the.
I make a motion that we.
Yes.
That we. That this is approved. I am so. That is. What a great job you guys have done. I have been wanting more light ever since. Thank you.
The letter really doesn't say they have to contact you. I'd give them 10 days or we. I would basically.
Well,
give them 10
said they won't go on to a property unless they have the okay of the.
Are they going to sign something?
Yes. They're going to need to. They'll be.
Was that mentioned in the letter? I'm sorry.
It's just to contact them if they are opposed. But that is one thing I'm waiting on. I asked Jim if there is a permission form like that's already made up that LG&E just. Sends out, and if there is, we'll use it.
Okay.
If not, then we'll need to create one
okay.
that says I authorize
mm-hmm.
LG&E to run cable through my yard or something to that effect.
I'm exactly glad we didn't move 3812. Do I hear a second? Is there any other comments?
No, I second it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell, Commissioner Eichenberger.
All
those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Girl Scout troops to move along with the little white squares or rectangles with the numbers. Everybody's seen that. They're doing a fine job.
They are. And they really show up. They really do. They look really good.
Yeah, they got it down to a science. All right. Next, fencing on public easements removal status. All right, 4100 Northumberland Drive is removed. Dennis and I was out there today, and the top rail safety issues have been corrected. So that one, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty much done. We need to send out, I guess you all think we ought to. We're past the 45-day mark. I think we need to send out reminder letters on the date for October 1st for the Mecklenburg and the Jonell Court properties. Does anybody have any objections to the reminder letter going out? I'll give him, yes, sir.
And then don't seem like to me, I've already been reminded. I already know. You got 45-14. We're good.
No, we're sending them out with the tracking on it. I'm sorry. I know who you are. Okay, I understand. We're just going to do it because we're just not sure they got out there to start with. But we're sending out the plots again. We got the copies that we're going to send back in there. And I know those two sticks are out of your front yard.
Right.
Okay. On your front yard, there's a stump right there.
Correct.
Okay. I can tell you right now, the previous owner put that stump there for property marker because it was right on where they were.
Yeah.
And right there in the back, all the way in the back, that tree is right on that marker. So I can't say they didn't know where property line was.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that that tree that's halfway down, that's the stump that's been cut down, is right on the property line. So I think whoever owned the house before you was marking the line. So
that's the way they did it back in the day.
Yeah.
I was going to say 30 years ago. And they used to move any sleep over.
Yeah. So any. All in agree, we need to send the letters out?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Anybody done any research on any projects? Okay.
No.
Well, no. I did check into Easter eggs, the plastic Easter eggs. Right now, since they're off season, we could order them without the candy. Okay, we don't want to get stale candy, but we can order them. We can get 1,000 of them for between $50 and $75. They're basically, the last time I looked on Amazon, they had $5 per 100, and there was other offers on there. But I just wanted to see if what your feelings was on Easter egg hunt next spring.
Because
I think what we can do. How much is that crime scene take cost?
It's not very expensive. You buy the Harbor Freight.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at. My thought process was that we set it up in age groups, and we tape off the areas. Don't let the parents in with. With the older kids, you know, they gotta stay in with the younger kids, you know, 5 and under or whatever, okay. But basically, we've got enough space in the off, right, in the open space. I don't know exactly how to approach it, but Tom's lives next cross street from you. His wife used to be the city clerk, and they're still in town. I don't know how they used to work it. I never went to one. My kids were too old by the time I moved in here. So I thought what we'd do is get some input from some people. But I'd like it to look further into it and get some pricing for the next city meeting so that we can start planning on that. I don't want to wait till January or February. I want to try and get this out as soon as possible after the first of the year. But
I think it would be nice if we could give like one big prize, you know. I mean, Easter egg has got something really cool.
Well, I was looking at the gigantic eggs also. Okay, they got the gigantic eggs, the special eggs. You know, that's a good point. It was one of those things I was going to bring up. So yeah, there's, you know, got all the little eggs, but then you got the one gigantic prize egg. So
and everybody gets punished for it.
Oh, really?
Well, not the adults.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get one for each age group, you know, and be really hit really good. So anyhow, that's kind of stuff that I'm looking for, okay? I would like to see next year in the fall, and this is one of the things I want to bring up, a community day in the green space. So we just need to start thinking about these things because that can be on the budget next year. And the big thing that would be in the budget. I don't think we can do the Easter egg pretty much in the budget, but a big community thing in the fall would be into the 2021 budget. That's what I'm trying to get here is projects for the fiscal year 2021. Okay. All right, new business.
I have some new business.
Okay.
Okay. The yellow speed bumps in the city really need work. They need to be painted.
Yeah.
So I called three construction companies and asked for bids. And that construction did not get back with me, though. I talked with them, and they did not get back to me. So I have two that came in, and instead of printing a bunch of stuff and using all
I
decided to do the old teacher thing.
Oh, good.
So the two bids, and I asked for a bid because they were talking about doing it like one coat versus two coats. So I said, give me a bid on both. Plus, and then this does not include, I'm sorry about Bay Run, because those are still in excellent shape. So the chevron stripe just does not include the Bay Run ones with the white chevron stripes. And it's just the yellow ones. There's 16 of them. So the Atlantic Construction Company came in, there's 16 speed bumps, one coat, and this, by the way, both of them includes the cleaning of them, and they said if there's like a little damage, whatever, they repair the damage like on the edges. So one coat, $2,924.80. Two coats, $3,724.80.
Is it sprayed on or sprayed on?
It is sprayed on. I talked to all three of them, and they all recommend spray because it gets down into the all the little grooves and really protects.
Yeah,
so the other one that came in, sorry, Bob, but honestly,
I know.
Okay, the second one was from All Terrain Paving, and the one coat was $4,640, and two coats, $4,960. And like I said, Matt Construction, and Matt is the one that did it the last time, but they did not get back with me.
Are they using the same kind of paint?
That's an interesting one, because
I think
All Terrain said that they were using a really good quality paint. Now, when I talked with him, he said we are using a really good quality paint. He said it's better than what we've used before, but
they didn't do the ones before.
No, they didn't do the ones before, and neither did Atlantic.
Yeah, Mac did the painting 2 years ago. They were done in 2017 when they did the rejuvenation of the asphalt in De Vista Villas. And I'm not real happy with the fact, because when I saw it go down, I knew it wasn't going to last very long. But we only paid like $1,200 for the paint job, if I remember right. So,
well, Atlantic, when he came, and I have a list of where they all are, and he was not familiar with our subdivision. It was really interesting because he said, I almost just called him a bid. He said, just kind of did it by looking at the map. And he said, thank God I didn't. And I rode with them. He measured them and measured the width. And he said that he said the price on square footage. Mm-hmm. And we had it all down, and he was the cheapest. So, and I'm thinking with the two coats, they've already done all the prep work. The prep work probably, think of it, when you're getting ready to paint in your house, all that prep work that you have to do, all that work. So you just leave the cones up and put another coat on. So, and both of them said, you know, they block off half,
yeah,
do it, and then come back the next day and do the other half.
Any kind of warranty on the board? Do you have insurance? I'm just asking.
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I didn't ask, but these are reputable companies, and I'm assuming.
Where did you find Atlantic at? Was one of them in the in the folder?
No, Atlantic was because I safety called. And I safety call. And I just asked him when I had to order the new sign, the double, the curve sign. And so I said, do you paint, you know, speed bumps? And he said, no. He said, but he said you could call Atlantic Construction. He said, now my guy, that he said my contact is no longer there. And the gentleman that I rode with said he passed away 2 years ago.
No.
He said, that's why. But I told him who had given me the name of the company. But that's how I found out about Atlantic. Okay.
Well, does anybody have any objections to getting the speed bumps painted?
None whatsoever. I get tired of doing my light check and run. I mean, you think I know where they all are by now. But they still, they'll still slip up on me, you know. And
I think we know who we want to have doing them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we need... And I would recommend two coats because they're pretty shabby.
It's just a little difference in that.
And maybe they'll let prior to 17, if I remember right, when I was the road commissioner, I went back and checked. I think the previous time they had painted them was 2012. It was in the folder that Carol's got now, but. This last time they didn't hold up at all, and I know it's only because they just went over once. And I even said something to Chris, and I'm like, I don't know, Chris, it don't look like they're gonna last very long. They'll be fine. So I know better now. Anyhow, do I hear a motion to have Carol contact Atlantic Construction and move with getting them painted?
Motion made to have.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner
Bedell. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Well, good. All right. Anything else in new business?
Yeah, I've got something.
Okay.
I would like to see if we can allocate some funds to see about fixing any raised city sidewalks. I don't feel that should be the responsibility of the homeowner.
The city fixed sidewalks in front of my house. It must have been 3-4 years ago. I'm not sure how long ago. You can still see where, because it was raised, you know, the sidewalks will raise up and a tripping hazard. Really, I mean, really. And they fixed it. It's wonderful. They're just as smooth as can be, and I really appreciated it. And
it seems like to me if we're going to tell them they can't park a vehicle on their sidewalk, then we ought to be able to say that we're going to fix that sidewalk.
I mean, well, it shouldn't be that many of them in there. You know, not every sidewalk is going to need repair.
No,
but I'm
not
sure there are, you know, there are some bad ones in our neighborhoods.
Well, the problem is it's not in the budget.
Well, there are funds tucked away it's a safety issue. We can find the money to do fix repair.
Not this year. I mean, you guys can argue all you want. I mean, you can bring it up, but we got to redo the budget if we do that, okay? Because it's not in the budget. There is no line item for a sidewalk.
Okay, well then, in property maintenance, what's in the budget? Because so far in property maintenance, nothing has been going on but other than trees taken down. And we already had that money allotted. So
property maintenance is in the care of the green space.
Okay.
It's not for the green spaces. You know, it's for the irrigation system, which That's another thing.
That's another thing we haven't done yet.
You're right. So.
And fixing those, repairing those, what do you call them? Those electrical boxes out
right,
of the island.
Right.
Those are still looking shabby.
Right. And again, that's because we didn't have the money last year, because they had taken so much out before we ever took over.
So are you saying we can't redo the budget? And
what happened to that money we got from waste management?
Well, we can redo the budget. All I'm saying is, when we redo the budget, you got to find it from somewhere within the current budget. You got to take money out of one allocated spot and put it into another allocated spot. That's how that happens.
Well, I agree. I mean, I don't think it should be the rest. I don't think it should be. It's not like we're going to redo all the sidewalks in the city. We're going to do the ones that you're talking about, the ones on Bay Run, Bay Court, Bay Bend Court.
Well, you can't do just them, because there's a whole bunch elsewhere. Let me put it this way: if we do those, then the next thing we'll know, the driveways.
No, I'm telling you right now. That's crazy.
No.
The driveways are in on their property. The sidewalks are on their property. You guys can vote what you want, but you're going to have to find the money.
Okay. We'll look at the budget.
And Bob, I can assure you that if they had not fixed the sidewalk, it would still be a tripping hazard out in front of our house.
Well, there's tripping hazards all over Worthington Hills. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I guess maybe my thought is, the taxpayers deserve a little something for their tax dollars that they pay.
Other than garbage,
light,
snow removal.
That's all they're getting. Light, garbage, and snow removal.
Do you want to raise the taxes?
There's money tucked away in CDs.
There's money in CDs.
We don't have any CDs. We had no CDs.
So,
is the
money market? Do you have no money in
the
money market?
We have money in the money market.
What are we saving it for?
For a rainy day. I mean, just because we've got the money in there, again, I'm going to argue, the sidewalks in their property.
You better take Section 3 out of your ordinance for parking, because it says right here, it shall be unlawful to park any vehicle over the sidewalks of Worthington Hills at any time, which to me implies that those sidewalks belong to Worthington Hills.
They're for the safety of people of walking.
But basically, you just said it. For the safety.
I know it. I said it, but the sidewalks are the responsibility of the property owners.
By statute, we cannot fix a property owner's property.
No,
it doesn't say you can't. No, it does not say you are prohibited. There is no ordinance that says the city of Worthington Hills cannot fix.
No, there's a state statute that says you can't fix private property.
Why
did
Jason fix
their sidewalk?
How do they get their set up? Because it's next to the street.
No. I called and talked to J-Town. I talked to J-Town, and they repair the sidewalks in the city of J-Town are repaired.
Maybe they're
the city of J-Town.
We don't own the sidewalks. Maybe they own the sidewalks.
Why were they fixed before?
Because what did the other administration do a lot of?
They spent the taxpayers' money, most of it, some of it. They spent the taxpayers' money on improving the city and improving the property in the city. And they spent it. I mean, these taxpayers deserve something for their money.
They get security. They get garbage.
And they get light.
Yes. Now, if you want more than that, then we need to raise the taxes.
No, we don't.
Yes,
no,
we do.
No, we don't. No, we don't. You just don't want to turn loose of the money. You want to keep that money in that money market account, as you say, for a rainy day. Well, in my opinion, this is a rainy day.
The sidewalks are on private property. And if you guys want to vote and violate the law, go ahead.
I don't care.
It's private property. We cannot, as a city, improve private property. Those sidewalks are put in when there's...
any resident would come out of their house and go, whoa! I don't think they're going to do that.
No, they're not going to do that. It's not that. We cannot improve private property.
And who's the, okay? If
who's going to oppose that?
Look at the statute. The sidewalk is on private property, and the city cannot use public funds for private property improvements.
So sue us. I'm honest
with you. If the sidewalk was next to the street, yes, we could do it. But the sidewalk is in their yard.
There is not a sidewalk in the city of Louisville that is next to the street.
Yes, there is.
There is always going to be some area between
residential. You know, it's almost always.
But I just don't see why.
Next thing you know, they'll have us mowing the grass on the easements.
You know, it seems like to me you have a pretty low opinion of the residents that live in the city of Worthington Hills to think that they would gouge the commission and want us to mow their grass or pave their driveway.
I'm telling you right now. The sidewalks are on private property. And the private property, we cannot use city funds on private property. That is the Commonwealth of Kentucky statute.
Then I guess J-Town then must be violating that, and I wonder if they're going to get fined or...
They probably got an easement from the street over on their sidewalks. I don't know how J-Town is, but I do know one thing. Where our sidewalks are, they're on private property. J-Town's got a grip about that one.
Let me ask you this. Okay, say for instance I live on Bayesian Court and I decide that I'm going to fix my sidewalk because it's all buckled and everything, mm-hmm. and I decide that I'm going to put down brick.
Right.
I decide I want brick down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put down a brick sidewalk on my four little spots in front of my house. And then my next door neighbor's going to fix his, and he's going to put down that pebble sidewalk because he thinks that's pretty. Do you see where I'm going with this?
It's their yard.
And you...
You're talking about Bayesian Court. There is not very much room between the street and that sidewalk.
It's still the private property.
It really is pretty narrow through there.
It's just like those trees. They're supposed to trim them trees. It's private property. It's public funds cannot be used for private property. It cannot be voted on. It's against statute. You learned that in the academy. Public funds can only be used for the benefit of the public, not for private property. And
it can only be used for the benefit of the public.
Yes.
So the residents are the public.
It's private property. We can get it. I'm moving forward. We're not voting on it because I won't let you violate the statute.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe I hear the sound of somebody that...
Well, I don't think he would talk if he didn't have proof behind him.
Beg your pardon?
I don't think he would be as forceful if he didn't have stuff from behind him.
We do not. Because, like I said, the sidewalks cross. Does not the driveway cross over Does the driveway not cross past the sidewalk? You can shake your head all you want. I mean, you can sit there and argue all you want. The sidewalks are on private property.
Well, are you saying if it's the law, it's a done deal?
It's statute, yes. You cannot use private, you cannot use public funds for private property. Yeah, there you go. The city does not remove snow and ice from the sidewalk.
That's for sure.
Aren't taxpayers
cleaning? Yeah, I mean, yeah, is the property owner, they're responsible for cleaning sidewalks.
Well, we need to probably enforce that. Get a letter out there telling me that to clean our sidewalks. That ought to. Well, we tried.
I don't make the laws. I mean, it's in, you know, public funds are to be used for the public benefit, and private property is not part of it. I mean, it was like the example they give. Somebody, you know, one of the
somebody put a fence up on their between their sidewalk and somebody. Between their sidewalk.
They're not allowed to do that.
Why?
Why? It's on private property.
Because
it's their private property.
Jefferson County has an ordinance that doesn't allow fences to be in front of the house.
What?
Yeah.
You ladies have to have the ordinance, right?
You cannot put fences in front of the house.
No, we're not.
You can complain about me all you want. I don't really care. I'm just telling you, we're not going to take a vote on something we can't do. Steve's not here to validate it either.
That's okay. I mean, if we can't do it, we can't do it. We tried, and I'm sure our constituents will understand that we tried.
Here it is. This is in Jefferson County. Am I also responsible for the street and sidewalk that is in front of my house? And here's what they said about the sidewalk. If any portion of the sidewalk or driveway is a danger to the public, this dangerous section must be repaired by the owner. Okay? And there's a reason why. And it comes down to you can't use public funds on private property. Is there anything else? I understand your concerns, okay? And I hate to be the bad guy, but somebody has to be.
There's a couple of them over there in
Bayes. I know there is.
Bad.
And they'll sue the property owners. What they'll do is somebody gets hurt. And that's another reason why we don't want to get involved with fixing sidewalks. Is once we fix one, we're responsible for fixing them all. And there's sidewalks all up and down Ludenburg that's got the same problem that's what's in Bays End East. Or whatever that is.
Bays End.
Yeah, Bays End. Okay? There's been a crack across the way on Pulaski Court, or Pulaski on the new side. It's right there by the sewer. Since I've been a commissioner, it's never been fixed. Okay? Anything else? Anybody else looking at the siding of Brick Veneers and all the houses? Okay. Anyhow, covered that. All right, commissioner reports. Who wants to go first?
You want to put it on the market? Thank you.
July 24th, I contacted MSD regarding resident issue of cooling water on Luray Court at residence driveway. Was advised that this issue has been addressed by MSD several times, and as long as the water drains within 24 to 48 hours, that is acceptable. On July 27th, received email from Maximus Lawn Care advising too dry and grass not growing much, will not mow the green space at that time. Did mow the islands and sprayed the weeds. On July 29th, received email from Bay Run resident regarding fallen pine trees on the fence. She doesn't think they're on her property. Advised her to have a survey completed to confirm that, and also needed to contact Gardens of Bay Run HOA, as City of Worthington Hills is not responsible. Per a follow-up on this issue, we are currently waiting on the Gardens of Bay Run groundskeeper to provide us with contact info so we may forward to our resident. You know, he never got back with us on that.
Who's that?
Justin.
Oh, yeah.
On July 30th, received email from resident questioning sidewalk repair on Bayesian Court. After research, I advised resident it's the property owner's responsibility for repair. 7:31, working with Commissioner Beville to write up a proposal letter to send to residents explaining LGE's plans to install number 12 2C cable for new street lights. August 3rd, received email from resident's wife after my reply wanting to know how the property owners are enforced to maintain their property. I sent them an email with an explanation and an invitation to the meeting. August the 5th, replied to email regarding vacant property at 3812 Northumberland. 8:19, received call from resident with questions concerning how to proceed regarding rental property registration online form. And that's it.
Thank you, Commissioner McAlever. Commissioner Metcalf.
Grove City on multiple occasions called AT&T about exposed wire protruding from the damaged enclosure on Allen Court. They came and did a partial repair. Issued parking permit to resident of 11012 Williamsburg Court. Mayor Stoneman and myself went to the post office and stored there on multiple occasions. Mayor Stoneman and myself went to the attorney's quite a lot of times. Met with the resident at 11012 Williamsburg Court about permit for putting gravel pad down. And I called 811 and MSC. Mayor Stones and myself Mayor Stone reported car to me at 4107 Northumberland Drive on the car on jack stands that it was on the sloping driveway. And I reported that to State Mason and City Protection, called 311 reported. Mayor Stone and myself attended a KLC class in Lexington put on by Unified Technologies. Mayor Stone and myself attended a class at Derby Museum put on by Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. That's all.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Commissioner Revelle?
I did my light check on July 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th with no outages reported. I informed Commissioner Metcalf of exposed wires at the AT&T junction box on our line.
this was in response to a phone call I received from the resident there on court about it. She had pulled into her driveway and hit the box and exposed the wires. I answered emails concerning Rumpke not, well, the residents thought Rumpke had missed the recycling, but I explained to them that if it's a recycle, if there's a lot of recycling, that sometimes Rumpke has to make a trip back and do that, and they understood that. I worked with Commissioner Eichenberger on drafting a letter to send to the to eight residents regarding the installation of the new streetlights. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Campbell.
On July 19th, I attended the Kentucky League of Cities meeting at the Prospect City Hall. On July 30th and August 13th, made mail runs with Deb Lush, city clerk. And August 3rd, I sent the mail road schedule for August and September. On August 5th and 6th, the crack filling on Northumberland Drive was completed using the rest of the money that they did on from the 2019 budget. Also, turn arrow, stop bar, center stripe painted on Northumberland Drive at the exit onto Westport Road. White chevron stripes were also painted on the speed hump in front of the daycare on Northumberland Drive. On August 8th, I rode the subdivision with Todd Hatfield from Atlantic Construction Company to show the location and size of the speed bumps. He submitted a bid quote for the painting of the 16 yellow speed bumps. On August 12th, I met with Billy Miner from Miner and Company, as well as Mayor Bob Stoneham, to give him the specs for the snow and ice removal bid. On August 13th, the double arrow sign that I ordered from Safety Co. was installed in front of and before encountering the painted arrows at the Northumberland Drive exit onto Westport Road.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Anything else? Anything from the floor? Open it back up. Yes, sir.
Yes, I wanted to go back to earlier on in the meeting where the commissioner mentioned the issue of the taxes and the liens and maybe what we will or will not do. I know it was previous administration. You guys, previous Steve, are doing a hell of a job digging us out of a hole. They sound like there's $100,000 going back from 2005 on. What are we going to do? I mean, 14 years later, do we?
This is what we've got to look into. Well, this is what we have. This is the reason why we brought it up, is because we wanted to get this on the table that there has been the lack of doing things in the past, okay? And it's up to, unfortunately, we're the people that are going to have to decide how we're going to handle this, okay? And it's going to take some more work. I mean, it's not like it's we've got to make a decision right now. Okay. We just had to get it onto the table so the commission's aware of it. Because prior to Dan and I talking, I had no idea it was this bad, okay? And so that's why I had Dan explain. He's actually done a lot of work on this spreadsheet. There's been a lot of information he's had to go through. We've got 676 properties this year, okay? Last year we had 675 because they missed one, okay? They've missed it since 2007. So, 676 properties, Dan's went through and basically put a spreadsheet together and taking this year what we got left with $30,000 that hasn't been collected?
35,
okay. They're still able to pay up until the end of the month, right, and still be in. As of September 1st, they go into the penalty phase. And the way it's supposed to work is in September, Dan will give Steve a list of all the properties that haven't paid this year. Okay, and hopefully we'll have a list of all the properties that should have been paid last year, year before. So what you don't know what happened in 2015, in October or November 2015, they had a computer crash, so they said. And a lot of the information that was prior to 2015 was lost. Now, up until 2012, they were doing taxes by paper, by book, and not on QuickBooks. In 2012, when Roy Coleman came in, he put the whole city on QuickBooks. And so anything that was from 15 to 12, we got sporadic information. We don't have good information because they lost the hard drive. Convenient. And I'm talking about they didn't lose it. It crashed on them.
Right.
Okay. So, and I'm going back because I was on the commission at the time. We didn't find out about it until January of 2016. And at that point, we were in fiscal year 16. So, Roy went back, from the best I remember, he went back to July of 2015 to build the QuickBooks and move forward with it. And they put in some backup drives. They put in two backup drives so that if they had that problem happen again, they'd have a QuickBooks backed up. So this is the reason why we're concerned, is we know we've got funds out there that have not been collected, and we have to come up with a plan on what we're going to do. And until we tell the commission, okay, about the situation, we can't actually do anything. Dan can't make a decision, I can't make a decision, the whole commission has to make a decision. What we do, we don't know. We got a number of different things that we have to look at. Okay, like it was brought up, we need to go to the Kentucky League cities, see what their recommendation is, see what we can do. Talk with Steve, work with him. But what we are going to do is, we're going to go back as much as we can to get the monies that we have rightfully due us. Most of the monies, from what I was looking at, is in the last 5 years, because they didn't put the liens out. They didn't do what they were supposed to do with it. When you come September, you're supposed to give the city attorney the list of the unpaid properties, and then from there, he sends them a letter identifying that there's going to be a lien placed on their property, and it's also going to be posted in the paper. Well, most people don't like the fact that it's posted in the paper, so they jump on top to get the taxes paid. This wasn't done in the last 5 years. Yeah, go ahead.
Everything but the current year, I think the amount of taxes that aren't paid is about $72,000. Yeah. So, as compared to what I had said, 124 or something. Right. The rest of that is all penalties and interest. Mm-hmm. So it's really not, if you just look at the taxes, it's not as bad as what it originally sounded like. You still have to have it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's not like there's really $100,000 worth of taxes out there.
Right.
Okay. Does that help answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
And moving forward.
Oh.
Next step, maybe what?
The next step, and next month, Dan will know who's not had their taxes paid. He will give that list to Steve, and Steve will take and do what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the way it'll be every tax year. When September comes, Steve gets a list. It'll probably be at the end of September, but Steve will get a list. Okay? And then Steve, I don't know exactly what Steve does, but I know the list has to be I don't know if he sends a letter out to.
He sends a letter before he's.
Okay, he sends a letter before he posts it in the paper. Once he's going to put a lien on a house, it gets posted in the paper.
Okay.
Okay? A lot of people don't like that.
Right.
And keep in mind, we have to be careful also as a city that we don't get information out there just any time they can hear it too. That's another thing we've got to work on this year for next year is we got all these different entities, and I'm talking businesses, third party providers, service providers who do the mortgage or the tax payments. So we've got to put a procedure together so that when these people are requesting tax information for the coming tax year, we got a contract with them that they can't use it for any other means. Okay? Because whether you know it or not, in Kentucky, you only need to pay taxes on a property that's on the tax lien 2 years, and you can get a quick tax lien sale on the house. And we've seen this happen. It's one of the things that I learned in business law when I was taking it. There was a case that the guy talked about. It was two brothers. One brother was taking care of the dad and mom, and the other brother was the financial guy, and he never took care of mom and dad, and taxes weren't getting paid from the other brother who was doing the bills. And the financial guy found out through the tax lien information the taxes weren't getting paid, so he went down and paid taxes every year. And when mom and dad died, he went and changed the locks. Nothing his brother could do. And that's what you have to watch out for. That's why I'm very selective on giving out information. I virtually have told these people they've got to send authorization from the mortgage company before we give them any information on some of these. So now the title companies, when they call and want payoffs and stuff, it's not a problem because most of them are local. Okay. But when it comes to somebody wanting to list this long of all the property taxes, you got to kind of be leery of these things. You know?
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberg. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell.